Oh my goodness. Tell you what, you guys love this church? I do. I like this church. I love this church. You guys, as we say in the South, y'all are good people. That's what we say. You say, when you get around people that you really like, you're like, y'all are some good people. We like you guys. So I just want to give a moment, just for a second, just to let you guys know what we've been doing, and want to give a place to share about some of the things we do. We know, I mean, I say this. Now, you don't have to say this. This hasn't been a slogan by the elders or the pastors, but I like to say that CLCC is Christians Loving Christ and Communities. I like to say it that way. Now, I'm not saying that that's our new tag or anything like that, but I like to say it like that because we are Christians going and loving Christ and loving our communities. And we've done two things recently that I just want to highlight real quick. How many of y'all were at the Easter egg hunts last Sunday and helped out with that? Sharon, I saw that you were there. Suze, yep. Trish and Andrew, yep. So, I mean, we had a good portion. I know I helped pack some eggs. Now, I also ate a few candy bars within packing those eggs, but I think that was an offering. That's the way I looked at it. So I was okay with that. And so we love to see what the Lord's doing. And would one of y'all be willing to share just for a second what all happened at the Easter egg hunt? Can somebody share just for a second? I'm going to ask you to be bold, be brave. It's not on YouTube this time, so you don't have to worry about that. But that day is coming. Don't worry. Anyone want to share real quick? Come on, somebody. Be bold. Well, all right, go for it, Chair. There you go.
Right. We had a fair amount of kids. I mean, we didn't count how many, but I said, who stuffed all these eggs? I mean, it's one
it was me. It was me. I'm just kidding.
We had, two totes full of Easter eggs.
Yeah.
Amen. Stay for the story, so mm-hmm. I don't know what transpired from that, but I'm sure the Lord
mm-hmm. Amen. Yes. And that's just a way that we give back to the communities in a way of just showing that, hey, we're involved with your lives. We want to be a part of this community, which we already are, but we want to make sure that, hey, we love you guys. We want to do something fun with you. And so I love that we do that with Pastor Chris's church and Pastor Don Snyder's church as well. So very happy that we can partner with the Four Newville group, that's what the churches are called, to do something great and together. Yeah, I love that we're, even though we might not be many in number, we are very effective and very active in community as well as doing other ministries and things like that. So I love how we do that. And, you know, just to piggyback on what Pastor Kurt was saying, it's kind of the theme seems to be today a little bit more is it's all about relationship. It's all about relationship. Worship doesn't mean the same when you're not in relationship with Christ. It just doesn't. It doesn't hit home. It doesn't have it. When you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you have that relationship with Him, then that activates another part where it comes and you can be friend with Him as well and co-heir with Christ. And so when you have that, that's a pure relationship. And it's wonderful because it's like then you can access Him. You can talk to Him. You can have a relationship. He talks back to you. Did you know God talks back to you? He will. Not in a bad way, but a good way, and helps you. So when you have a relationship with Him, you can have that conversation, you can have those things, but when you don't have a relationship with Him, when you're just reading the Word just for what it is, trying to decipher what's going on, or trying to find some mystery that you think that will unlock the, you know, the fountain of youth or whatever else you're trying to find, that's not what God is at all. The Pharisees knew the Bible so well that, well, the Torah at the time, that you could take a stake, a big stake, and I'm talking about a stake like you nailed Jesus' hands to, a big stake about that thick, you could put it right through the Torah, and they could tell you by memorization where those spots were that was missing. They were so well known of Scripture, but didn't have anything in their heart, so they missed Jesus completely. Folks, I don't want to see us miss Jesus completely. He wants to do some amazing things. And if you would come into alignment with what He has for you, you're going to be amazed at what he's going to do. He wants to do great things in you, through you, and you have gold deposited inside of you that he wants to draw out. But the only way he can get that out is for you to surrender your life to him. That's what it comes down to. And I will never not apologize for that. It has been such, it's not been the easiest journey. I will say that in some Christian circles, it's said that, hey, once you surrender your life to Christ, it's all easy. You know, it's all roses and level pathways. And I'm like, that is not true. That is a lie. Life is tough. You've got some seasons that are very tough. But I love it because Jesus is with you every step of the way. And it's like, I'm here to serve him, not do my own. And I have found the more fulfillment in doing that, way so than doing things on my own. So, amen, Pastor Kirk. Good stuff. So when I was praying about what to say today, I was kind of taken back for what the Lord said. And I was like, I get my messages from anywhere, and the Lord just speaks to me whenever. And that's when you have a relationship with him, he talks to you wherever. Doesn't matter where you are. He talks to you wherever. And I was like, Lord, what do I want to bring to the congregation today? What would encourage them? What would help them out? What do you want to say to them? And then he answered me immediately. And I was like, wow. You know, sometimes I have to wait a little while for him to answer back, but it was immediate. I was like, wow, that was really good. So I was like, and he said this. He said, well done and good job. Come on now. Well done and good job is what he said. And then he brought me to Matthew 25. Hey, we're going back to Matthew again. So Matthew 25, verse 14, if you want to turn there in your Bibles real quick. This is not my 3-hour long sermon, so don't get worried. I'll have you out time for Easter lunch, but my 3-hour long sermon will one day come. I just let you know. It's going to happen. I'm not sure when. Maybe before Jesus comes back, maybe after. I don't know, but it will happen, so we'll see. So Matthew 25, and this is what the Lord showed me that he wanted to go after with well done and good job. Matthew 25, verse 14. So, for it is just like a man about to go on a journey. Jesus is talking about a parable right here. Who called his own slaves and entrusted them with his possessions to them. Now, I want to just point out that slaves in this text means bond servants. Other scriptures actually show the word servant. So, what that pretty much is a person who pledged their lives in a contract to the owner or master of the estate to work for them for a set amount of times. So I want to make sure we get the right definition here when we're talking. So that's what he means by slaves in this. It means a bond servant or someone that has a contract to be with that person, to work for that person. But also not just to work for that person, but be able to inherit things from that master of the estate. So I'll make sure to point that out. So in verse 15. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and another 1, and each according to his own ability, and he went on his journey. Now, talents, some scriptures, verses use a bag of gold. But when I looked up what talent actually meant was, talent was equal to 20 years of a worker's labor. That's a long time. So I did the math, because I like math. So I did 40 hours a week, which is a normal work week, times 52, which is how many weeks are in a year, times 20 years, and that brings out to 41,600 hours of work wages. And he gave 5 of those to that man. That man had some wealth, I think. That man had some gold. That man had some good stuff, I would say. Wouldn't you say? Like, hey, I want to work for that man. That man's got some, that's some good stuff. So a talent was that. The one who had received 5 talents immediately, I love that, immediately went and did business with them, and he earned 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who received the 2 talents earned 2 more. Now I want to be in business with that guy. That's who I want to be. I mean, he took 5 talents and says, I'm investing that, and just made 5 more. I mean, that's a good guy. I mean, that's almost a Pastor Kurt level right there. That's the way I think of it as. You know, I think of this five-town guy as Pastor Kurt, because I'm like, man, Pastor Kurt does these things immediately, and he does business, and I'm going to give Pastor Kurt my five talents, and he's going to turn into 10. I love it. So that's what I think of. I love Pastor Kurt. But it's good stuff. But this servant knew what he was doing. He went after it. And the funny part is that, well, I wouldn't say the funny part is, but the amazing part is that he immediately did that. So that showed relationship with the master. He didn't sit around and wait a while or think about things. He immediately got those things for the master. And I love it. And then this person with the two talents. Now, maybe the person with the two talents didn't have as many, but that doesn't mean he didn't matter as much. He came back with 100% increase, the same as the five man. So just because he had a little less doesn't mean he was less important. It meant that he could still do the same thing and still have a relationship with the master. But we see someone else who didn't have the relationship that they had with him. So it says in verse 18, but he received one talent, went away and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. So we see this one is a little bit different. He went away and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. This servant didn't have the same relationship with the master. There was something off about this relationship. He didn't have it. So verse 19, after a long time, the master of the servants came and settled accounts with them. The one who had received five talents came up and brought five more talents, saying, Master, you've entrusted five talents to me. See, I have earned five more talents. His master said to him, well done, and enjoy a pizza party that I'm going to give you for this. Does it say that? No, it doesn't. And this is how I know the master's different. He says, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things and enter in the joy of your master. I looked up joy of your master, what that actually meant. It meant to partner with the master. How many of you work? I work. I get pizza parties sometimes, you know. When I find it kind of interesting that, you know, I see the slogan of like, you know, your company made billions of dollars this year, but hey, here's a pizza party. Good job. You know, I'm not saying that about my company. I'm just saying that it's out there. Things like that happen. I'm not saying any bad thing about companies, but I'm saying there's a difference between knowing and having that relationship with the CEO or the master of the company or just being just a worker. When it says enter in the master's joy, that means that they are celebrating together. And with that comes promotion, with that comes wealth, and with that comes more responsibility, but not as a responsibility as in a bad thing, but responsibility as in a good thing where you can fulfill more what you want to do. And I'm like, wow, what a great thing. It says, I'll put you in charge of many things. Enter the joy of your master. And they went there together. I love that. I love that. And verse 22, also the one had received two talents came up and said, Master, you entrusted me two talents to me. See, I've earned two more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Enter the joy of your master. Same thing. Same thing. I'm proud of you. I love what you're doing. I'm going to put you in charge of more things because you did such a great job. I'm going to give you promotion. I'm going to give you raises. I'm going to give you many things. Come into my house for joy. That's amazing, isn't it? The master's joy. Those words of affirmation are pretty amazing, aren't they? Have you ever received words of affirmation like that? I know I have in my life. There's two different things that happened to me one time of things of affirmation that were like, wow, this was really amazing. And one was my dad telling me that he's proud of me. I mean, it's a good thing for a son to hear that. And dads, I would encourage you to go after that. Go after that. He would say, son, I'm proud of you. Proud of the man of God you're becoming. Proud of the man of God that you are. And then another one was when I was leaving New Orleans. The youth pastor at the time said, you know what, when they were praying over us and sending us back to Virginia, where we were going back with other things that were going on in my life, and the youth pastor was praying for us. He said, Lord, I thank you for Van. I thank you, Lord, that you've made him just like you, and he looks and reminds me of you. And I'm like, wow, that's no joke. It's no joke. Those words of affirmation were big. But those two words are great, but they mean nothing compared to Jesus saying, well done and good job. I mean, I love that my dad said those things. Those are not things that I take lightly, nor that what my youth pastor did at the time. And those things that I don't take lightly. But when you hear it from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, there is nothing sweeter. And did you know that that's what he's saying to you today? Because of relationship? He's saying, well done and good job. Doesn't that get you excited? It's like, yes, this is awesome. Now, I want to encourage you to read the rest of the parable. I'm not going to go into it because I feel like there's no need to go into it. Because we see a very description of a servant that doesn't know anything about the master. He thinks he does. But he doesn't. And that's why I'm not going to go there today. I'd encourage you to read it and see what happens to him. But don't get caught up on it because that's not the text for today. The text for today is well done and good job. And if you are following like the first two servants, then you never have to worry about being that third servant of hiding the money in the ground because he was afraid. God is a good God. You don't have to be afraid of him. You should respect him because he is God. You should give him reverence because he is God. But you don't have to be afraid of him. Amen? So I'm just want to give you some things about how we can continue to get that well done and good job. Just some things to continue. So number one, your heart's got to be in the right place. And that's what he calls for. He wants your heart. If you ask him to be Lord and Savior of your life, you've asked him, here, Lord, here is my heart. Here's what it is. I'm giving it to you. I'm entrusting this to you. Now, I have a drawing of this. Now, I will draw some of it because of how amazing of a drawer I am. But I'm going to ask someone else to help me with this. So who can draw a ship? Just a boat. Who can draw a good boat? Who can? I'm going to ask you, be bold. Don't chicken out on me. Who can draw a good ship? Who's like, I can draw a pretty good ship. I could draw something like that. Come on. I know I've got some artists in here. And y'all don't want to see my ugly boat up there. It doesn't look very good. I'm just going to tell you that right now. I will draw this. I will draw the waves. I'll draw the waves, and I'll draw the clouds. And then I'll draw the rain. And that's about all I've got. So I need someone to draw a ship for me. Can someone do that? All right, come on up, Mike. Thank you. Thank you. Let's give him a halt. Give him a round of applause. Good job, Mike. All right, so I want you to draw, it doesn't have to be anything special, just draw a ship right here. Okay. Just draw a ship right there. And I'm not going to critique you because it's going to be better than my boat could be. So I think it's going to be great because my boat would be like sunken, flat, all types of boards out of alignment. Let's just say Noah wouldn't want to go on this ark. I'm just telling you that right now. Well, that looks good. That looks real good. Yeah. Heart in the right place. So as he's drawing the ship, our heart needs to be in the right place. Now, a lot of you have heard that, you know, we're like a ship in the sea. Have you heard that? We're like a ship in the sea. And when the rains come and the storms go and things like that, that we need to be anchored in Christ, right? You've heard that before. Oh, that's great. Thank you. Thank you, Mike. I appreciate that. That's very good. Very good. I like it. I like it. I like it. That is a sturdy ship. That's not going down. So when the rains come and the storms come and the waves get high, we're supposed to anchor in Christ, aren't you? When we have our heart in the wrong place, we seem to anchor in our situations and our experiences. And some of them aren't normally the good ones. Or we tend to go back to what we fear. There's a reason why people grow up and say, I'll never be like that, and yet at the end of the day become that. So one thing I want to let you know, this is the anchor right here. You see, I told you, great anchor. I just messed up your whole ship, Mike. I'm so sorry. This is the anchor. It's a big rock with a rope on it. So that's all I got. That's all I got. You got to be creative with it. So your anchor is going to go somewhere. And if you allow your circumstances, if you allow things to come over you with that, your anchor is going to pull you down. And then it's only a matter of time before this ship sinks. Only a matter of time, because you're relying on your situation. You're relying on things that have happened. You're like, man, these things are not going to work out. But let me tell you something. Instead of putting your anchor in those things, put it in Christ. Because I'll tell you, when you put your anchor up here, and the anchor comes up here, that ship will never go down. That ship will never go down because it can't. Because it's anchored in Christ up here. It's anchored in Jesus. Looks like a small Sunday school writing, but yes, we'll take it. Your anchor is in Jesus. That's when your heart is in the right place. No matter what happens, good or bad, if your heart is towards Him and say, Lord, I don't know what's going on in my life right now. I don't know why these situations are happening, but I've anchored it in You. So whatever storms happen, I'm not going to fall. I'm not going to sink because my hope is in You. That's called having your heart in the right place. Number two, do something. Do something. I mean, it's great. I love that we're all together. I love that we're having church. I love that we're having a good time. If you're not having fun in church, you're doing it wrong. I'm just saying. I love Sunday, even though it is the toughest day for me to get up. But that's just flesh talking. That's just flesh. Ugh. But I love being with you guys. It's so much fun. It's such a great time to have. But we can't just be here just soaking up everything and not giving it out. Do something. And we're like, well, Pastor Man, what do I do? Hey, we've got a chicken barbecue coming up, a yard sale. We've got what was the other thing we're doing coming up? We've got the spring cleaning. Yes, thank you. We got the spring cleaning. That's coming up soon. This house is tough. There's a lot of land around here. Takes a lot of people to do a lot of things on this house. Do something. Do something. Where God has given you talents, where God has given you things, do something in the house. Say, all right, Lord, You've given me so much, I want to give away. And that just shows love. That just shows love. It's like steering a 747 commercial engine, or I should say commercial plane. You know how a 747 moves? You know how to steer it? You've got to get moving first. You can't steer it if it's sitting still. You can't steer a plane if it's sitting still. You have to keep it moving. So get moving. Say, all right, I'm going to do something. And if you don't have it, if you're like, I don't know what I can do, come talk to me. I got plenty of things we can do together. Come talk to Pastor Kurt, Pastor Steph. We got stuff we can do for days. And it's not just busy work, but we want to make sure we're doing what the Lord wants us to do. We want to please Him. Third thing, pleasing Him. So first, heart in the right place. Two, do something. Third, pleasing Him. And you know when you're pleasing Him. My wife, Pastor Steph, I know some things that are going to please her. If I do the dishes, I know that pleases her. if I put all those dishes that I used in the sink and just left them there, what do you think Pastor Steph's going to say about that? It's not going to be pretty. I can tell you that right now. It doesn't please her to do that. And she might be, we might have a little bit of a marriage conversation on our hands after that. We might have a heated conversation. But I know what pleases her because I know her. Knowing her, knowing Jesus, and knowing what pleases him. That's what we can do. And the most important, number four. So number one, heart in the right place. Number two, doing something. Number three, pleasing him. And number four, this is the most important, I believe, is to be who he's called you to be right now. And that's knowing who you are in Christ as a son or a daughter of the King. Once you know who you are and what he's done for you, relationship is so much more easier. It is. It just is. The walk and the relationship of a Christian is not really that difficult, really. It really isn't. Because the more understanding you get, the deeper you go into having your heart in the right place, pleasing him, doing something for him, the more you do those things, the more you have his heart, the more you sense his love, feel his love, experience his love, and the more love that you experience gives you one to have more love for out for those, to keep doing things. It is just a keep on recycling. It's a cycle that just keeps going on and on and on. And so you're like, oh, Lord, I love you. Because he draws you into his presence first. He draws you first. You're like, Lord, I love you. Give you my heart to you. And then he gives more love to you. And you're like, oh, Lord, that's so great. I want to give more to you. And then he's like, oh, you're doing so good. I want to give more love back to you. And you just keep going back and forth. And that's how Christianity can be. It's when we get shipwrecked on our own stuff is when we have problems. But know who you are in him. And knowing that is what Jesus died for. He died for you for that relationship. So I want to challenge you today. He says to you, well done and great job. That's awesome. I think it's awesome. I've never preached a sermon like this, and I think it's awesome that God says that to us. But maybe you're here today, and you're like, well, I didn't really do anything for God, or I don't really have a relationship like Pastor Van's talking about. I want to give you an invitation to have a conversation with me or Pastor Kurt or Pastor Steph anytime, and we can talk about this, about letting the Lord become Lord and Savior, letting Jesus becoming Lord and Savior in your life and walking with him and experiencing all the amazing things that he has for you, but also serving him is a privilege and is amazing. Because that's what Easter is all about. Easter is the greatest sacrifice that he did for us, for a cross, for the worst death you could have. The biggest price that he paid. He took away all of our sin because we all fell short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. But he took it all away so we could have relationship back with him. And it's amazing to have relationship with him. Like I said, it's not always easy in a sense because we do go through life and life can be tough. But we always have him with us and we can be anchored in him and not sink in those storms. Amen. Let's just pray as we end today. So, Father, I thank you so much that you said to us today, well done and good job. Man, that's amazing, Lord. Thank you so much for that. And, Lord, we're going to continue to do a good job, Father. We're going to continue to have our heart in the right place, continue to do some things for you, Father. We're going to continue to please you and to know who we are in you, Father. But, Lord, I pray for those today that aren't their Lord and Savior, that you aren't, that they don't have a relationship with you, that they just see you as some God up there that doesn't really care. Father, I pray that these words that are your words, Father, would cause them, Father, to have second thoughts about that. that they would ask us for a conversation. Lord, because you are amazing, God. You are so amazing. And Lord, we want to see everyone come to Christ like we know you. And you want that more than any of us do, because you want to shine your love on them and show them how big and how great you are. So, Father, we just thank you for this wonderful day that we get to enjoy the resurrection and for the finished work that you did, Father, for the new covenant, that you took the keys of death and Hades, Father, and that the enemy doesn't have any more power anymore, that you have all power and all authority, O God, and you are amazing. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.